Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3pm on WGXC, Acra 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better. Today's guest is Laura McEnany. Laura is an English teacher at Wyndham Ashland Jewett Central School in Wyndham, New York. She has two master's degrees in education, and she is currently working on her administrative degree. Teaching for over 12 years, Laura possesses a true passion for education. She is married to her best friend, Josh McEnany. They have known each other since the fourth grade. Laura and Josh have two sons, ages 4 and 6, and a Great Dane named June. Laura, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So how big is this Great Dane then?
Right now, she's 125 pounds. However, she's only a year, so I expect that she'll get a little bit bigger.
And do your kids like go onto her back and kid on?
No,
she's a horse?
Absolutely not. They are not allowed to do that.
Because you're doing it?
No, but they're allowed to cuddle her, but not get on her back.
So is she nice and is she friendly?
She is very friendly. We had her since a puppy, and so she grew up around the
a
children.
A puppy? You're saying a puppy? She's probably like 57
since
pounds
a small
or
horse,
something.
Since a pony.
Yeah.
We've had her since she was a pony.
About the size of a Shetland.
So, you know, this dog, how much does it cost to feed the dog a month?
Well, it is pretty expensive, actually. When she was younger, she was diagnosed with a food allergy, so she has to be on prescription.
Not only is she horse-sized, she has to have special food.
Special food.
So that has been a little bit more expensive than anticipated.
So does she also have like a horse-sized dog dish or a trough or a manger?
Her bowls are quite large, yes.
Did you say bowls there?
Yes, she has a water bowl that she has all day, and then she has her food bowl.
Okay, just checking.
Yes. Right. And they're elevated, so she doesn't even have to crouch down.
Why a Great Dane?
Well, we've always had Great Danes since we were married. And our first Great Dane lived till 10, Lucy. And she was just kind of the light of our lives prior to children. She was wonderful. And we really fell in love with the breed.
Now, can I ask, is 10 old for one of those dogs?
Yes, their average lifespan is 6 to 8 years. So 10 was excellent. Hmm.
It seems a bit kind of short for, you know, when you get really attached to an animal and then they become part of the family and then, something happens and then they pass on. It seems quite...
It was very difficult. It was devastating. And still to this day, you know, I remember the day that she died. And I constantly think about her. And my boys actually always talk about Lucy and, Oh, Lucy's in heaven now. But you know what? The reward and the love that she provided our family and the love that we gave to her is so worth, the loss that comes in the end. And June, you know, kind of is now a new love that we have to enjoy.
And does the dog run or gallop?
Actually, I would say it's more like a gallop.
And do you need to take a massive bag out when you take her for the toilet?
No, she goes right in the yard. And then we use a
excavator.
We use a fork that is used to clean out horse stalls. And we clean that poop and just throw it.
Great. Excellent. Yep. So tell us about your 2 degrees. Where did you get them?
I earned my degrees at Union University, right
Union.
In Schenectady.
Right.
And I have a Master's of Arts in Teaching, and then I also have a Master's in Adult Education and Distance Learning.
Right. And you're going now to do what?
Right now I'm enrolled at St. Rose, and I'm going for my administrative certification.
That's my alma mater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, that's where I graduated.
Excellent. Yeah. Yep. So I'm attending there now, and in the end I'll have my school district license.
Right. And then you will become a superintendent and be ruling the roost over Mike and Mark. Is that right?
I don't know about that. I do think that it's good to have options. So yeah. I love teaching, and right now I'm quite happy in the classroom, but I also want to make sure that there are other options there for the future.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, shall we move on to the first song, Mike?
Our first song is going to be Elvis Presley's Pocket Full of Rainbows. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
So why Elvis? What does this song mean to you, Lara?
Well, you know, I've always loved Elvis Presley ever since probably I was about 12. I would listen to 93.5 Oldies Station.
And can I ask a question for you any further?
Sure.
Is Elvis still alive?
No.
How do you know?
I'm pretty sure that he's passed on by now.
But what's your evidence?
He was killed by the aliens while they were testing him.
Well, yes. According to Kirsty MacColl, an English singer, he works in a chip shop in England somewhere.
selling fish and chips.
Oh, really?
You want some tartar with that?
Uh-huh.
No, but I do. I love the sound of his voice, and this song particularly, I think, is just so lighthearted, and it was very enjoyable when I first heard it, and it's just a catchy tune.
I don't worry whenever skies are gray above. Got a pocket full of rainbows, got a heart full of love. Heartache, I found a way to make him leave. Got a pocket full of rainbows, got a star up my sleeve. Kiss me extra tender, hold me extra tight, 'cause I'm saving your no more teardrops. Now that I found a love so true, got a pocket full of rainbows and that arm full of you. Kiss me extra tender, hold me extra tight, 'cause I'm saving your sweet.
Was Elvis Presley, the King, singing Pocket Full of Rainbows. Good choice, Lara.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed that song. Now, Elvis, the pelvis, as they called him because of the way he danced. Did you know that he had a twin?
I didn't know that.
No.
Yeah, actually, the poor baby died stillborn when Elvis was born. Elvis was born second, and the first baby, whose name escapes me because I think the name of the baby died.
Oh.
So Elvis was a twinless twin.
Wow.
So I just thought I'd mention that.
That's very interesting.
I've got another few things here. Did you know that Graceland was named after somebody and it wasn't Elvis that named it?
No.
No?
I did not.
Well, let me read this to you.
All right.
Elvis bought Graceland for $101,000, right? And the Memphis mansion served as home for two decades, 20 years. But it used to be owned by a guy called Dr. Thomas Moore in 1939. And they named it after, I think, their daughter. Or it was they bought it from somebody. And it was a great-granddaughter of the person who owned it first. The daughter's name was Grace. So they called it Graceland. So that's why it was called Graceland. So it's nothing to do with Elvis. He just kept the name.
Right.
So there you go.
Oh, okay.
Well, thank you for that.
Interesting.
Yes, good tidbit there.
Yes, and 600 songs he recorded, and he never wrote any of them.
Really? Just kind of covered?
Sang them. He was the voice.
No kidding.
Now, one more. Before we move on, one more thing. I found this really interesting. I just wanted to share this. In 1960, there was a hit, It's Now or Never, by Elvis.
Prisoner! So inspired a prisoner who heard it in jail that he vowed to pursue a career in music upon his release. The artist, who I'll name in a minute, was serving a 4-month sentence for stealing tires. Now, do you want to guess who this guy was? You take a guess. I'll give you a clue. His name is a colour.
His name is a colour? Oh, my goodness. I have no idea. Something with the colour green?
No.
Oh, bummer. Oh, you know?
No.
I can see Mike's mind.
Well, I can't think his first name. Brown?
No.
What, no?
No, Barry White.
Barry White.
So there you are. Okay. And Barry White's nickname was the Walrus of Love. So there you are.
Thank you.
So there you are. I just thought I'd throw these little bits in.
That's great.
So you want to take a Bible with you?
I do,
Why do you want to get a Bible?
Well, because, you know, God is important in my life. And I've never read the Bible from the beginning through to the end.
I don't think many people have. except the Pope or something.
You know what? It's such a well-read work, and it's something that I've always wanted. It's a goal of mine to read it from the beginning to the end at some point.
In one night?
And no, certainly not. But if I'm going to be on an island or in a cabin and by myself, why not have the company of God and the lessons that you learn from the Bible there with me?
Right, and when you're sitting scared because there's owls and
coyotes
and bells, and then you start fabricating people trying to get in the house, you can just flick through the Bible.
Well, you know, lots of people find a lot of comfort from the Bible, and I am certainly not a survivalist, so I think that that would be something I could turn to.
Now, I asked one of our other guests, actually, it was our second guest ever, 2 years ago, if he knew what the shortest verse in the Bible was, and he knew it. Do you know what it is?
I do not, no.
Do you know, Mike?
I do. I remember that.
Yeah?
The shortest verse is Jesus wept.
Yes, Jesus wept. There you are.
Thank you.
So, now Lara wept.
And Bible,
right?
Bible is Greek for the books. That's the original root, and then it made its way into Rome, Latin, and Biblia. Best-selling book of all time.
Yep.
Over 5 billion copies. Written over a 1,600-year period by about 40 different guys. Time of the writing being 1,500 BC to 100 AD. And many, many books written about and by various religions, but the Bible is the only one which claims to be the actual Word of God.
Is that right?
Well, according to what I read. I mean,
yeah. Do you have your own personalized Bible?
What do you mean by personalized?
But do you have one you've had maybe since you were a kid or anything like that? Or?
Yes. My father was a very religious man. Right. And so he bought me a children's Bible that I still have today. And I also have his Bible. And I also have my grandmother's Bible and my great-grandfather's Bible. So right. I have quite a few.
Yeah.
Do you have one, Mike?
I do. I have a couple. I have a student Bible that I used for a long time after I was confirmed in high school, and I got another Bible recently for Christmas. And it's interesting. I'm fascinated by the different translations. They're translating from Aramaic and Greek and Latin, and you know, in those languages, they're using phrases and illustrations that are foreign to us. So I think. Depending on the translation you use, the more modern translations, you sometimes get the feel better for what they're trying to say, but you don't get the word for word exact. And that's fascinating. I like researching that and reading about it.
I wonder if anybody's got a signed copy, you know, like maybe a signing event. God was there and, you know, they spoke to them while they're waiting. And
that would be worth
to sign it, man.
Quite a bit.
Maybe.
50 million on eBay, wouldn't it be great, wouldn't it?
Now, Lara.
Yes.
Your next song is Eminem's Sing for the Moment.
That's
Marshall
right.
Mathers, Eminem.
That's right.
Is this a blast from your high school experience?
Not exactly high school. I think it was more college, actually. I graduated high school in 99, and I think this song came out in 2000 at some point. But I've always liked rap music. I still do to this day.
You don't strike me as a rapper.
Tupac. one of my favorites.
Oh, interesting.
Shout out to Biggie Smalls, too. Mm-hmm. But I've really always enjoyed rap. Not as much some of the modern rap from today, but really those rappers who are lyricists. And I really see their songs as lyrical poetry.
I was going to say, is this something that resonates with your love of the English language? And because you've got 2 degrees in English, am I right in saying that?
Right.
Education.
Right, so, education. Undergraduate, it was English, right. Though, yes.
So is that one of the reasons why you have a respect for what they're writing?
Absolutely. It's the messaging that comes through with some of the rap. I know, you know, it has a negative connotation with some of the messaging, but there are some songs where the struggle of usually the writer themselves or some of their family members comes through. And
well, you know, it's all relative because, you know, sometimes rap music, you know, nowadays some rap music is frowned upon because of it's seen as being blasphemous or, you know, it's unacceptable language and stuff like that. But that's all relative because way back in the time, even Elvis, you know, I think it was the Ed Sullivan Show. He said he wouldn't have him on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right.
And then he had him on the Ed Sullivan Show and people were burning epitaphs outside of the studios. You know, yes, so, yes. So it's relevant, you know, because when Elvis first came out and he was like gyrating his pelvis, people were like, this is disgusting.
Well, my parents went to a Christmas jazz concert this past winter, and the guy was saying that the song I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus when it came out in like 1946 was banned by the church, whatever that means, you know, and I think it was the Catholic Church.
I think it insinuates that mom's having an affair, possibly.
Yes, and that's the thinking. But in reality, you know, of course, because there is no Santa Claus, it was that probably dad is just dressed up as Santa
There's
Claus.
There's no Santa Claus?
When I say that, I mean there's no Santa Claus here in this room now.
Okay.
He's referred to in the Bible, as you know.
So at the time, it's, you know, condemned by the church, but because of that, it became wildly popular, and everybody had to have it, and everyone was listening to it. And, you know, you compare that to South Park or a lot of the music we have now, and it's like, please.
Exactly. And, you know, we'll look back in 20, 30 years and say, I kind of believe that what we were deeming as highly offensive in a rap song.
I was going to make a joke and say that we'd see like Eminem on Sesame Street, but I think that's possible. And I feel like I actually saw that at some point. Is that possible? Was he ever on?
Yeah.
That is possible.
M is for Eminem, kids. And you know, talking about that, the song, it does deal with the theme of rap music's effect on society and the misunderstanding that Eminem claims critics and parents have toward his message. And he says that he's not promoting violence among young people. People are the cause of violence themselves. They're not necessarily provoked into things or inspired to do things. Then he says that his music gives a lot of advantages to young kids. It gives them a relief from boredom, from depression, a way to kind of vent their frustrations. And
well, I agree with that. I think, you know, oftentimes he connects to adolescence in a way that some people can't. And so he's been through a lot himself, and there's a lot of kids out there that have been through a lot, and they can really connect with his music on that level.
Did you ever see that movie? What was it, 9 Mile?
8 Mile.
8 Mile.
7.5 miles.
7.5 miles.
It was a great movie, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Is that the one about the prison?
No, it was about Eminem, basically, and his life growing up and how he...
Who was the female actor in that?
Brittany Murphy, I think.
Yeah, who's now the late Brittany Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did she die?
She did. I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't remember how.
I think it was a tragic death. So.
Yeah, I mean, Eminem is one of the guys, the few rap stars that I do. I could be driving down the road and go, I like that song. You know, there's quite I don't really like listening to rap music, I'll be honest with you, but he is one that I would listen to, and I could tell you a few of his songs, this one that you've picked being one of them.
You know? Excellent.
So, shall we listen to the song, Mike?
Eminem, Sing for the Moment.
Mm-hmm. fear as a child with dyed hair and who likes earrings. Like whatever they say has no bearing. It's so scary in a house that allows no swearing. You see him walking around with his headphones blaring, alone in his own zone, cold and he don't care. He's a problem child. What bothers him all comes out when he talks about his dad walking out. Cause he hates him so bad that he blocks him out. If he ever saw him again, he'd probably knock him out. His thoughts are whacked, he's mad, so he's talking back. Talking black, brainwashed from rock and rap. He sags his pants, blue rags, and a stocking cap. His stepfather hit him, so he socked him back and broke his nose. His house is a broken home, there's no control. He just lets his emotions go. With gangsters in the land of the killers, a sinner's mind is a sanctum. Only your unholy, only have one homie, only this pony, cause don't anyone know me. Yet everybody just feels like they can relate. I guess worlds are remote. They can be great, or they can degrade, or even worse, they can teach hate. It's like these kids hang on every single statement we make, like they worship us, plus all the stores ship us platinum. Now how the f*** did this metamorphosis happen? From standing on corners and porches just rapping, to having a fortune, no more kissing s***. But then these critics crucify you, journalists try to burn you, fans turn on you, attorneys all wanna turn it to to get their hands on every dime you have. They want you to lose your mind every time you mad, so they can try to make you out to look like a loose cannon. Any dispute won't hesitate to produce. That's why these prosecutors wanna convict me strictly just to get me off of these streets quickly. But all they kids be listening to me religiously, so I'm signing CDs while police fingerprint me. They're for the judge's daughter, but his grudge is against me. If I'm such a menace, this doesn't make sense, B. It's all political. If my music is literal and I'm a criminal, how the f*** can I raise a little girl? I couldn't, I wouldn't be fit to. You're full of s*** too, Guerrera. That was a bitch that hit you. Can it load a for you and do? Well, if it can, and the next time you assault to do, just tell the judge it was my fault and I'll get sued. See, what these kids do is hear about us. They want to get one because they think this is cool. Not knowing we really just protecting ourselves. We entertainers. Of course, this is affecting ourselves. You ignoramus. But music is reflection of self. We just explain it. And then we get our checks in the mail. It's to paint it. How we can come from practically nothing to being able to have any thing that we wanted. That's why we sing for these kids who don't have a thing. Except for a dream and a rat magazine. Who post pinup pictures on their walls all day long. They favorite rappers and know all they songs. Or for anyone who's ever been through shit in their lives. So they sit and they cry at night, wishing they died. So they throw on a rap record and they sit and they vibe with nothing to you. But we the shit in their eyes. That's why we seize the moment, try to freeze it and own it, squeeze it and hold it. Cause we consider these minutes golden. And maybe they'll admit it when we're gone. Just let our spirits live on through our lyrics that you hear in our songs. And we can
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC ACRA. That's 90.7 FM. Today in the show, on the show, we have Laura McEnany, and that was Sing for the Moment, Eminem.
Yes, I correct.
Brought Very us back good. In before and said Live for the Moment.
Yes, great song. Good choice.
Thank you. Thank you.
So the next item you want to bring with you, Laura, is a wedding album.
That's correct.
Just a random wedding album or your own?
My own wedding album. Yes, I don't want some random one, no. My own wedding album. I have a very beautiful album that has a really nice selection of pictures from that day. And it was just a magical day. And, you know,
Where did you get married?
At my parents' house in the backyard.
Right. Excellent, yep. Excellent.
And, you know, they have a beautiful property. It's for sale now, if anybody wants to buy it.
So the location of your wedding is for sale now.
It is for sale, sadly. Yeah. But it was a beautiful, beautiful day. It was August 20th, and it was sunny and a little bit breezy, not too hot, and just a perfect day. And everyone that's in that album are people that are close to me that are here, but there's also a lot of people that I was lucky enough to have participate in that day that are no longer with us.
Right.
And so it would just be something that would be important to me. Family is something that's very important in my life and is central to my life. So to have that with me would be having all of my family, past and present. And I would slip some pictures of my children and my dog into my wedding album when I came. No, it does not. It's still pictures.
Now, a lot of people, and Michael can vouch for this, a lot of people like to take pictures with them on their Catskill cabin getaway. And I think what it does is it offers a bit of security if you're maybe feeling lonesome or you're feeling maybe a wee bit fearful that you're there on your own and it's quiet and it's dark or whatever and there's maybe a storm outside or something. Looking at pictures of your loved ones, past and present, can bring back a feeling of security and stimulate good memories as opposed to sitting there going, oh no, I hope there's not a bear out there.
Yeah. Are there any pictures in particular in the album that that you really like?
Yes. Particularly there's a picture of Josh and I with his grandparents and my grandmother, and all of them have passed now. So it's a really special picture because they were all able to be in that day with us.
Yeah.
So that was really wonderful. And there's another wonderful picture of my father and I, and he's no longer with us either. So I really treasure that picture as well.
Right.
And, you know, he was the one that made that day possible. So it was wonderful.
Well, it's great that you can look at pictures and still enjoy them. And that's, you know, brings back positive memories. And obviously it was a fantastic day, because I can see when you're talking about it, you've got a big smile on your face.
Yes, it was great. And both my dogs at the time were in the
wedding. Ah, great.
So my Great Dane Lucy was a flower girl, and I had a Weimaraner as well, and he was the ring bearer. So I had them dressed up, and I have a wonderful picture of both of them dressed up for the wedding.
Did they walk down the aisle?
They did.
Wow.
Did they participate well, or were they naughty?
No, they were excellent participants.
So as the flower girl, did you just like put satchels of loosely packed flowers on her side so that as she ran, they just came pouring out all the way?
Well, no, she just had a wreath of flowers around her neck, and she had a beautiful dress that was actually made by a woman in Scotland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she just walked down the aisle. We didn't have her throw any rose petals.
She didn't stop for the toilet halfway down or anything
like
that?
Oh, gosh. No.
No.
That's excellent. Brilliant. Now, the next song you chose is Counting Crows, Colorblind.
Right, yes.
What does it mean to you?
Well, I've always liked Counting Crows. Since high school, I listened to them all the time. And Colorblind is one of those songs. It doesn't have a lot of lyrics, but the lyrics it has definitely connect to me in that it's, in my interpretation, it's discussing this dichotomy between your two selves, your outside self and your inside self, and trying to find a way to be comfortable with who you are on both levels. And so I kind of see it as you being, having these two areas. Like there's one part of the lyrics that say coffee black and egg white, two polar opposites. And I think sometimes all of us feel uncomfortable with certain parts of ourselves. And so I think it's important that we all find a way in which to appreciate who we are and to be willing to improve on the parts of ourselves that we're not happy with. And this song just kind of ends with "I feel fine," almost like you make this connection with yourself where you find peace.
Cool. I mean, I think that's a very interesting bit of insight into the song. I noticed that you've got a black and white sweater on.
I do.
Is that deliberate?
It was not planned. I happen to usually wear some sort of black because it's slimming.
Do you ever play this song for your students in class?
I have not played this song. I've played Eminem for my students in class, actually, and I've had them analyze those lyrics, but I have never played any Counting Crows songs for them, but that's a really great idea.
What do they think when they hear Eminem?
They're surprised that I would like rap. I don't think they initially believe that I do until they, you know, happen to walk in on me playing rap when I didn't realize anyone was there. And then they're like, oh my goodness, you really do listen to it.
And then you pull out your wedding album and there's a picture of you with a hat on backwards and baggy pants. And
you're right.
This is how much Mac likes rap.
That's right.
Now, do you know how the Counting Crows got their name?
I do not.
Mike, do you?
No idea.
Now, have you ever heard of the nursery rhyme, one for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy? That's it's a superstitious counting of magpies. Magpie is a crow, right? And it's a nursery rhyme from Britain, and it's a superstitious counting of crows. If you see one crow, it means bad luck. If you see two crows, it means good luck. And then if you see three, and it's somebody's pregnant, it's going to have a boy, and, you know, somebody's right. pregnant, going to have a girl if it's four. So the whole nursery rhyme goes as follows: one for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy, five for silver, six for gold, seven for a secret never to be told. And that's where they took their name from, Counting Crows. At the time, I think it was David Bryson or Adam Duritz's friend was in a movie, Signs of Life, and that nursery rhyme was in the movie. So they were playing coffee houses and all that at the time and decided, let's call the name of the band that, Counting Crows, based on that nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Excellent. Thank you.
I love wee bits of things, tidbits like that.
Yeah, that's intriguing.
Really fascinating.
It's like the band Nickelback. The reason they got their name is because one of the guys worked in Starbucks and everything used to cost like $10.90 and give people a Nickelback. And that's why they called them.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea. That was like
something 95. Uh-huh. Everything would cost 95 and they'd give them a Nickelback all the time. So there you are. From inside. That was Counting Crows, Colourblind. Excellent song, very soothing. I can see where you're, when you were talking about the kind of yin and the yang of oneself, I can see where you came to that conclusion, and great lyrics and very soothing song. Complete contrast from rap music.
I have a very eclectic taste in music. I like pretty much everything.
Yeah, good. That's the best way to be. Now, sorry, Mike, you want to bring this in?
Your next object, Lara, is pencils and paper. And would you be drawing?
Absolutely not. No.
You know how to draw?
I do not. I don't have an artistic bone in my body, unfortunately. I wish I could draw, and I really admire people who can and who can. My mother is a beautiful painter and sculptor, but I just did not receive that gene. So
I'm the same. My brother's a great drawer. I have no artistic bone in my body either.
Yeah. So I would use it to write. I did inherit from my mother the ability to, well, maybe not the ability to write, but the passion to do so. So I enjoy writing poetry and just reflections. So I would probably use my time in the cabin to really reflect upon life and life's meaning, and maybe write some good poetry. I've never really had time to sit down and really focus on my writing, and I would love to do that.
Now, when you write poetry, is it rhyming poetry or more like, I guess it's all interpretive, but
haikus?
I can't remember all the different types of poetry.
Well, it really doesn't have a specific structure. I actually try to encourage my students that they always have this impression that all poetry must rhyme, and it really doesn't have to.
In fact, some of the
yes. Well, if it is a sonnet, then yes. I do enjoy writing Shakespearean sonnets. So for those, yes, I would follow the rhyme scheme. But I enjoy writing free verse where, you know, you don't have to rhyme. It's more about just the way in which you put the words together and the images you create so that you form a unique impression and imagery for the reader so that they see things in a different way.
Would you write any short stories?
I have written short stories in the past. I do enjoy that. In fact, one day if I retire, one of my aspirations is to write a novel for adolescents. So that's something I would love to do.
And do you have any ideas of what the novel would be?
I think it would just focus on teenage angst. You know, Working with teenagers for so many years, I've really been able to observe, gosh, the many facets of their lives and specific students and things that they've gone through. And so I have some wonderful stories that I could put down to paper. And I think teenagers and all of us really love to read something where it resonates with our own lives.
Yeah. I mean, one of our previous guests, James Pintati, he wrote a musical, middle school, the musical, was it?
Middle School Madness.
Middle School Madness. And he was basically kind of mirroring what you were saying there about, you know, feelings and angst and how everybody, you know, who is an adult and people who are in middle school can understand and, you know, the feelings would resonate with everybody because everybody can take themselves back to that.
Right.
So although it would maybe be a story written for adolescents, it could be written and read by adults who would then take themselves back to that moment again.
Absolutely. And I think as adults, we often, unless you work in a school or work with kids, you forget what it's like to be a kid sometimes.
Yes.
You become kind of jaded and secluded in your own adult world. And if you're not exposed to it, you kind of lose touch with just, you know, if you think back to when you were a teenager, you really felt everything with such extreme emotions. And people sometimes forget that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, think small things like you think a musical artist wrote a song just for you in mind because your feelings are unique. You know?
Exactly.
But they're not. They're just completely general.
Right. Yeah.
And you said that your mom inspired you. She's a writer?
She is. Yes. Yeah, she's published two books. One of fiction and one of nonfiction. And yes, she's a wonderful writer. One of her books, A Clear Destiny, is kind of a thriller. And, you know, I was helped her edit that book and really enjoyed watching her go through the process. It was very interesting to me. And so she certainly inspired me.
And was it published?
It was, yes.
Excellent.
Yep.
Are there any if you get time, are there books that you enjoy reading or going back to? I know you're really, really busy, but just reading for fun?
I do love to read for fun. I just never have time to actually do so. But lately I've been reading memoirs by Hemingway, and I love Ernest Hemingway. He's one of my favorite novelists, and he writes excellent short stories, I believe. So I enjoy reading him. And The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne, every time I reread that novel, I always find something new within the pages. So those are two authors that I really enjoy.
I don't read nearly enough. I wish I had the ambition to read more, and because when I do, and when I get into a book, I really enjoy it, and I think it is so important, reading and writing. And
I think in this day and age of computers and Wikipedia and, you know, all the things that are at our fingertips in terms of knowledge, Google, I think nowadays we tend to read less. You know, if we get a bit of spare time, maybe, for example, if you're on a bus journey or a train journey, rather than take out a book and start, you know, read another chapter, you maybe jump on Google or Facebook or something like that. So the art of reading is kind of getting lost, unfortunately.
Well, and I think that, I thought about that too, the art of like escapist imaginative reading, where you're, you know, reading a story that takes place somewhere else and you can become a different character for a while. We're still reading, we're just reading the news all day, and we're reading articles all day and emails all day. And it's important though to read and to imagine, and I think
it's important to escape,
and especially like in childhood and development, you know, those years, if kids can really exercise their brains in that way, they can improve their intelligence. I've read like tremendously.
Absolutely.
Read those books, kids. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a creative mind is an intelligent mind, I believe.
Darn.
You know, when I worked at the school, Lara, and I subbed for you when you were out, and one of the tasks you'd left me was to continue critiquing Animal Farm. And that's such a fantastic book. You know, it parallels a lot of the history of the world that Mike teaches. And, you know, it's one of those stories that English teachers and history teachers can combine, and, you know, a combined project on. And it's fascinating. And I think once you get kids to look at it, who are genuinely interested in education, begin to look at these things, then they become really interested, and you can have those conversations that then you give the kids the stage to discuss and to realize. I think it's brilliant.
Absolutely. Well, that's the challenge, is to find the hook for those kids so that, you know, they will become interested and invested in what you're discussing.
Yeah. Now, Lara, your last song is Blessings by Laura Story. And this is a Christian song, the first single off of Laura Story's album titled Blessings. And it reached number one on the Billboard Christian Songs chart. In an interview, she said that Blessings is just a bunch of, the album is a bunch of songs about worshiping when life is hard. And her husband, Martin Elvington, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And she wondered, why didn't you just fix it, God? You're all powerful. You're all loving. Just fix it. Later, after mentioning her desire to return to normal, her sister said, you know, I think the detour is actually the road. And she realized that spending time with her husband, Martin, obviously makes her happy and makes her a better person. And that's the blessing of it. And intense. Why this song, Laura?
Well, there are actually some parallels there. My father died of a brain tumor. And I kind of went through that same journey, which is probably why I find such a connection to this song. You know, there was a period of my life after he died where I was very angry, and I didn't understand why God didn't heal him. You know, we would go to church and we'd have prayer sessions, and people would share their miracle stories. And he was such a wonderful man and such a force in this world for good that I didn't understand why he couldn't have been one of those miracles. And so it hit me hard, and it still does. And I've struggled for a long time. And this song, I heard it on the radio, and it just really made me think about trying to be more optimistic in this world. And with everything that everyone goes through, we all go through personal struggles. You listen to the news every day, and it's heartbreaking, the tragedies that go on around the world. And this song just reminds us that, you know, sometimes it's within those tragedies that we find our greatest strength.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
That was Laura Story Blessings. Very nice song. Good choice, Lara. Very nice.
Thanks.
Now, we're coming towards the end of the show, and one of the things that you want to take with you is a cozy blanket.
That is correct.
So, any particular type of cozy blanket?
Yes. I want it to be extremely soft. So, at home, I have a blanket that I purchased because it was similar material to my son Silas's blanket, which he had when he was a baby. So it's, you know, as soft as you would want to wrap up a newborn in, that kind of soft.
Hmm. Why, do you feel secure in it? Or?
I guess so. Yes, I love to have a comfortable robe or a blanket around me when I'm home. It's just, you know, the feeling of it is lovely.
When you're in your bed, do you like to have your warm feet or do you like to have cold feet? Because when I'm in bed and my feet are too warm, I like to have my feet outside the bed.
Mm. I like to be warm. I have those really soft, warm socks that I wear to bed every night.
No me.
Do you have an electric blanket?
You know, I would love to have one. I don't. I used to and it broke. So that's definitely going to be on my list for my birthday to get a new one.
Hint, we have one. Hint.
That's awesome. Yeah. Actually, we have a dual zone electric blanket.
Oh, nice.
So that, yeah, my wife can have it totally cranked up and then I can have it ease back a little bit because I get too hot.
My husband gets too hot too. But yes, so I love, you know, if I'm going to be in this cabin, I have my album, I have pen and paper to write with, I have the Bible to read, and then what better than having a cozy blanket to cuddle up in while doing those things? Great.
She just, you know, she's going to starve to death because she's no food, but she's nice and warm.
Do you ever let the dogs up into bed?
Oh,
absolutely. Oh. Yes. June is allowed in our bed, although my husband with our
wait a minute. This horse
is
allowed on the bed.
Right, but she's not allowed to sleep with us. Lucy, our previous Great Dane, and our Weimaraner were allowed to sleep with us in bed.
Under the covers?
They slept on top of the covers. They would get too hot.
Yeah.
But so June is not allowed to sleep with us at night, but she comes up on the bed, you know, during the day. You'll find her sleeping up there and getting away from the kids. And
do you ever worry that, especially when the kids are really small, that the dog might get excited, run by the kids and knock the kids over or something?
Happens about once a day.
No.
Yeah. But they're fine. They get right back up and, you know, she goes and sniffs them and licks their face and makes sure they're okay. And so, yeah.
Do you have any other pets, cats or anything?
No, we would have cats, but my husband is very allergic, so we don't have them. Yeah.
Are the Great Danes good with other animals?
As long as you socialize them properly, then yes. You know, June really should be socialized probably more than she is. She's good with dogs, but she doesn't have dog etiquette is the way I would put it. So she kind of goes right up to the dog, right in their face. And some dogs don't really appreciate that. So,
yeah. Are there dog parks in the area? Or?
There are, but you know what? Unfortunately, I haven't had great experiences in the past with dog parks because I feel like some owners don't really know their dog. Mm. So they'll let their dog loose and they'll say, oh, they're fine with other pets. And they're not always. So I'm always very nervous that my dog could get hurt by someone else's pet because they're ignorant of dog behavior. So I'm pretty careful about just having her always on a leash.
I see.
And you have shoulder problems?
Nope, she is very well behaved on the leash, actually. So
I think my arm would be at the socket.
No, she does not
pull. Back!
She's a lady on the leash.
Now, you say you go to St. Rose, so do you go there like maybe once or twice a week in the evening or College of St. Rose?
Oh, yes, I do. I go twice during the week, although this semester, one of my classes is on a Saturday, so it's from 8 to 4 on Saturday.
Right, okay.
Which is nice, because my poor husband has had to, for two nights last semester, get home, get the kids, get dinner and all that, and I didn't get home until almost 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
so
one of the things I used to worry about, especially in the winter, was that because I lived in the mountain, you know, it'd be raining in Albany. And
then
maybe
ice or 30, snow.
39 degrees, and you're like, oh no, I'm in for trouble on the way home. Hmm. And then you get to a certain point in the mountain, going up the mountain, and it turned to snow. And you'd be driving up, and it'd be like half past 10 at night, and you're like, if I break down here, I'll be in trouble, you know. Fortunately, I never ran into trouble, but you know, it was always in the back of my mind.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Laura, this has been a great time. Before we wrap it up, we haven't talked about your childhood, and I don't know if Andy knows this, but where were you born?
I was born in Winchester, England.
Winchester?
Yes.
Ooh. So you're actually English?
I am. I have dual citizenship, yes.
Amazing. I actually knew that.
You did.
No, I knew that you'd English heritage, and I knew that your gran was English.
And my father, yes.
Your father. Yeah. And you have a strong respect for tea.
I do. I love tea. And I usually will have tea at 4 o'clock.
You will?
I will. I will have my 4 o'clock tea.
And you have scones?
I don't usually have scones, no, because, no. You know, they do put some weight on those thighs.
How long you're wearing a black and white t-shirt. So.
How long did you live in England, Laura?
I lived in England till I was four, started school in the U.S., and both my sisters are much older than me, so they went to school for about 10 years in England.
Can you give me an English accent?
Maybe.
Go on.
I don't know.
Oh, that's no bad, actually. Really, very good.
Thank you.
And you've said that there are videos of miniature four-year-old Laura speaking with an English accent. Is that correct?
Yes, they're very cute. I'm usually, there's one of me out in the yard, and I'm calling for my father, and I'm saying, "Daddy, Daddy, come here, please." It's very cute.
Wow, they sure did teach you to be polite. That's pretty cool.
Excellent, brilliant. And do you feel, you know, like for example, do you feel English? Do you have an affinity with, you know, the British? You know, do you watch like Downton Abbey and stuff like that?
I've started the first season of that. What I would say is that my loyalty does lie with England. Whenever people, you know, speak badly of the English, I become very defensive.
Even Scottish people? You know, if Scotland are playing England in the World Cup.
Well, you know, I am a little bit Scottish too, so there you go. I'm loyal to both Scotland and England.
Excellent.
I'll be diplomatic.
Now, Laura, we have one last question for you. Okay. How do you take your coffee?
You know what? It depends on my mood. Sometimes I have it just straight black, and other times I'll have it with Bailey's French Vanilla Creamer.
Yum.
And what kind of coffee do you like?
I like dark roast Starbucks.
She is a great woman. She's slightly Scottish. We'll ignore the English part. And she loves strong coffee.
I do.
Laura, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been great listening to you. And I really enjoyed all your songs and your stories. So thank you. And look after that horse for us.
Certainly will. I'm Laura McEnany, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXC. Thanks.